Okay, last morning with you guys. Thank you for having me and listening so well to all I have to say. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. We're actually going to be in Luke today. I'm tricking you. We're not finishing Isaiah 6. We're going to do something a little different, switch up a little bit. So pray with me. We'll begin. God, when that song just says, heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, I don't know what hearts we all bring this morning, whether they're expectant hearts, tired hearts, ignoring hearts, deaf hearts, awake hearts. God, we need to be people expectant, responding like we heard last night. I pray, God, that in mercy, you'll awaken us this morning. Prepare us for the day, and not just this day, but all following days, to have hearts that are full of love. God, I believe 100% that this is the reason you made us. And we want to be people. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the text we're going to be dealing with today is in Luke chapter 10. And man, I know that you guys are tired. I know that you have played hard. And so we're going to end with a story. And the story we're going to end with is likely it's a tremendously familiar story to you guys. It's known as the Good Samaritan story. But this story, in the last couple of years, God has used to really shape my life, and I think the perspective of our whole organization, the Coffee Oasis, and I hope that maybe God would just help shape your guys' story by this also. So let's read it together, and then we'll dive in. Luke 10, starting in verse 25, going to verse 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, just do this, and you will live. But the man wasn't done. He wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said this story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, notice, he went out of his way, took a whole day. It wasn't just like, here you go. Get off my donkey. Right, he stayed the night, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus replied, go and do likewise. How has this story shaped my life? This is how this story shaped my life. Growing up, like you, I grew up being taught to ask God, how should I be a son of yours? How should I be a Christian? What does that look like? And I was trained to give a response to that. And I love that Jesus kind of allows this man to work out, to just speak what he's heard, what he's learned growing up. So this man basically was asking, so what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's something that they talked about in the churches back then a lot. It's something we talk about in the churches a lot now. The response was something that we've talked about even the last couple days here. Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you could just repeat this, like, love God, right? Yes. And Jesus said, absolutely. And so what we could do is we could feel like very gratified, like, yes, I've thought the right thoughts, right? And yet the man wasn't satisfied with that. He knew that Jesus kind of led him down this trail, right? Knowing that the man was in his own estimation brilliant, right? And the people all who had gathered around this man probably praised him for his wisdom. Oh, you nailed the question. Good job. Right? He probably wrote a book about it. And so the man, wanting to show Jesus that he had really thought through these thoughts well, wanted to justify what he was saying. Wanted to prove that he knew what he was talking about. And so he said, who is my neighbor? And this story is incredible, and this is why. The context here is this. I know probably if you've heard this story, you know what a Samaritan is. But let me just review for you the credentials of a Samaritan during this time. Samaria was a place with a bad history. Right? It was a place that people avoided. Why was this man on this road? Well, because this road, though it was dangerous, though it was stocked full of robbers, it would go around. It would purposefully go far around the city of Samaria so no one in their right mind, no one in their dignified cultural place would ever have to cross through Samaria. Why? Because Samaria were a people that were polluted in the eyes of the Jews. It was a place with different people, people not like us. People that when we saw them, maybe their cultural habits, maybe what they like, maybe their preferences, maybe their style of music, right? Maybe the way they made jokes. Whatever it was different and a place to be avoided because of that. It was a place of different beliefs. The Samaritans had completely, they had taken some of the Torah, some of the books of the law, but they had shaped them to conform to their own way of thinking. So it wasn't a people who worshipped the same God of the Jews. There were people of a different belief system, right? People to be avoided. Why? Well, because they didn't think they were who? They were the Mormons. They were Muslims. They were whatever it was, right? In our cultural context, a place to be avoided. Why? Well, it's justifiable, right? They're not like, they're different. They have different preferences. And they have a different religion. The last is a place that does not like us. There was this tension between Samaria and Jerusalem, and they hated one another. Right? This is a Samaritan. So, when Jesus told this story, it would have been absolutely repugnant. It would have been, when Jesus is right off the bat, brings him into this setting of discomfort and a place to be avoided. And this is where we enter the story. But the question is this, and this is what absolutely blew me away as I started working through this story, and literally has changed the ministry of the Coffee Oasis, is this. As I read this story and realized, who am I in the story? So who is my neighbor? And notice who the neighbor is, and notice who I am as Jesus tells me this story. My neighbor is the one I'm supposed to love. Love God, love who? Love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The one who had mercy, the Samaritan, this person, we're gonna get in uncomfortable territory right now, okay? The Muslim, the homosexual, the whoever it is, that person who I can avoid justifiably. Why? Because they're different than me. They have different beliefs than I do, right? Jesus isn't bringing you into a context where you're like, oh yeah, Billy down the road is my neighbor. I'm going to invite him over to jump on my trampoline because we're neighbors. No, like this context here is the neighbor who I love is the Samaritan. And who am I? I'm immobilized. All I can do is I'm the guy on the ground, beat up, naked, hurting, needy. That's the story of a Good Samaritan. And growing up, the story I heard was this. Go be the Good Samaritan. If you're a good Christian, you'll be the Samaritan. That's not the story. And we have just played out our moralistic, legalistic gospel going, if you're good, you're like God. No one's good. No one's holy like God is. Who you are is a person who is needy, broken, hurting, helpless. Because God only comes for that person. Jesus said, I came for the sick. I did not come for those who didn't need a doctor. Right? And that is the power of the story here. You're a person needing help. There's this a man named Jean Vanier, which we've just loved using some of his books. I've taken all our staff, all 40 of our staff, through a book called From Brokenness to Community. And in that book, he says simply this. He says, people have come to our communities. He has these communities where severely mentally handicapped people who've had brain damage so they can't feed themselves. Some of them are blind. They can't even interact a lot of times. He has these communities where they live, and then people come just to care for them. And he says this. He says, people come to our communities to help the broken, but they only stay when they realize that they are the broken. And that has shaped the Coffee Oasis. Why? Because when we started going, okay, we're going to have a place where we're good because we're Christians, and then people are going to come in who need Jesus, and we're just going to help them. Right? And that's the way we read the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, we're the Good Samaritans. We come along. We find the person who's broken, find the person who's needy, and we help them. Jean Vanier wrote this. He says, the people I spend time with, the disabled, the homeless, have been teaching me that behind the need I feel to win, there are my own fears and anguish, the fear of being devalued or pushed aside, the fear of opening my heart and being vulnerable or feeling helpless in front of others in pain. There's the pain and brokenness of my own heart. I've discovered something which I had never confronted before, and there was immense forces of darkness and hatred within my own heart. At the particular moment of fatigue or stress, I saw forces of hate or dislike rising up inside of me, and the capacity to hurt someone who was weak and provoking me. That, I think, was what caused me the most pain, to discover who I really am and to realize that maybe I did not want to know who I really was. I did not want to admit all the garbage that was inside of me. And this is the message Jesus brings, his inaugural sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. How does this start? Because I believe this walks us through the gospel. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Guys, and unless you get this, you will never be able to go out and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and you'll be sent on this impossible mission. You'll never be able to go and truly love, truly neighbor someone unless you get this at the beginning. The beginning point is, blessed are those who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt, that their souls don't have anything to offer God, and their souls don't have anything to offer those that are around them. We are those who are needy, and we are those who are hopeless. The second is, who is helping me? And what has breathed so much life into my life is this. I grew up wondering why I couldn't just classify all people who didn't believe Jesus as hateful and grumpy and mean. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, oh, he must be a Christian because he's nice. Oh, that person must not be a Christian because they're mean. Right? Oh, that person must be a Christian because they punch people all the time. That person must not be a Christian because, etc. And if we could play out life like that. But it's very different. When you enter the world, you realize there are people who are nicer than you that don't know Jesus. Right? You'll realize that sometimes Mormons really are nicer than you are. Does that mean they're right? No. That doesn't mean that. But we've turned the gospel into go be the good Samaritan, and we realize, well, why are they a better good Samaritan than I am? Because that isn't the litmus test for the gospel, right? That isn't the litmus test for truth, yet we conform it to that. But this is what we find even in the scripture. The story of Jonah, I think, is so helpful for this, because God sends this grumpy old man to Nineveh to preach his gospel, and he runs away because he doesn't want them saved, and then he gets on a boat, and God's like pulling him back to Nineveh, and these people that don't know him are like, we'll save you, Jonah! He's like, I'm trying to get these men killed. And they're desperately rowing me. And you know what he says to them? He goes, sorry guys, I know God, let me explain this to you. Everyone in the story of Jonah is more likable than the prophet. And it's shameful. And so I feel like the best thing I can do to prepare you guys for going out on this Mission Impossible is to realize you're going to meet amazing people who don't know Jesus. They're not going to be people that you're like, how do I tell them that they're really bad? Right? I had a roommate in college, the last 3 years of college, CJ. We ran cross-country together, and then both of us, from injuries, had to stop running for a while. And then we lived together, and CJ wasn't a Christian. And those were, man, some of the best years of my life, living together. And we just shared so much together, and it helped shape me a lot, because CJ was, I'd lived with, like, some Christian guys before, and they weren't very enjoyable to live with. But living with CJ was just a breeze. I mean, just really gracious. One of those guys, like, literally, we went shopping together, and everything in the fridge we just shared. I mean, it was ideal. And CJ and I just began working through life together. And so since I was really a part of the Christian community there, he'd do a lot with us. And we'd have these talks at night, literally, where he'd be, like, weeping. Like, I understand the gospel, I just can't make that step. And so I was able to be myself, CJ was able to be him, and man, I pray that for you guys. Who's your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Right? Well, it might be a guy like CJ. It might be someone who, though, you have to realize they are human, and you never let them be human, right? It could be a homeless person who we want to classify in this sense of, oh, they're broken. And what's this story telling us? No, you're the broken person. And unless you come to the point of realizing you're the one naked on the ground, lying there, looking up, needing help, you're never, ever, ever going to be effective in sharing the gospel. And this is literally what it says in the New Testament. My name is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And this response literally is to this. That God's name is blasphemed so often because we've turned it into something that is just about being nice. And the gospel is not just about being nice at all. It's about realizing that your soul, the way you were made, is a soulish being. Your soul is in poverty and bankrupt apart from what God is bringing to offer you. And when you get that, you're going to be able to offer the gospel to people, because it's not just going, come follow me and I'm going to make you a really nice person. So what does go and do likewise look like? This is it. Jesus is returning us, I believe, in this to the center of the gospel. And the center of the gospel is that it is not a show of good deeds. It's not how impressive your skills are. It's not how winsome your personality is. All those things that we can judge it by. But it is literally this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And go and live, right? Learn what we shared about life signs yesterday, man. My prayer for you guys in sending you guys out from here is to be people who maybe you explore new lunch tables when you go back to school next year. Why? Because they're not the bad Samaritans, right? But they're other human beings that God is calling you to be in relationship with. Why? Because you're broken. They're broken. They need a Savior, right? They don't need to see a Savior because they're mean all the time and they're punching people all the time. They need a Savior because, like you, their people have been broken by our separation from God. And they need to be restored to this, to learning what it means to be human again, right? I shared this with Luke. I've been transformed in the last, I would say even half a year by realizing, man, I grew up like trying so hard to be good. And I realized that, man, that when Jesus saves me, and I get this, when Jesus saves me, he's not saving me to be God, he's saving me to be human again. Right? Because what's ultimately lost in the fall is your humanity. To live like a person, to live like a human being. Right? And so when God's restoring you, he's going, learn to taste delicious food and give glory to me for that. Learn to see sunsets and give glory to that. Learn to play sports. Give glory to me for that. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, I'm saving you to be human. Right? And from that place, we can learn what it means to neighbor someone else. Right? My friend CJ and I still go running together about every month. We run together and all he wants to talk about is religion and politics. Right? And so we'll go there, and CJ brings his perspective, and I come going, well, this is the angle I'm taking it at, CJ, and I'll explain it. And 9 times out of 10, CJ gets it. And that's the cool thing. I believe God is just chasing down CJ, and I believe CJ is going to become a brother soon. But why? Well, because CJ is a human being, and I'm a human being, and I'm learning just to like, man, how do I just share life with him? And show him Jesus, because why? Because I was broken, I was naked, I was lying on the ground, and I needed Jesus to come rescue me, to show me what humanity is again. Sometimes we create it in these crazy spiritual terms, and I think this story has just been so refreshing. It's allowed all of my staff at the coffee shop, all 40 of them, to go, when people come in, it's not us from our elevated position handing out goods to others, but it's us broken, experiencing the healing of Jesus Christ, welcoming others in to be participants in a healing community where we're just sharing life together. And that is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So, may that give context. I pray this whole week I've spent with you, this 3 days I've spent with you guys, will give context to the simple phrase, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That God who is great and greatly to be exalted, being impacted by that side of him, to realize, woe to me, I'm unclean, I'm unbroken. And to realize that, man, our neighbor just shares in that brokenness. And how do we share in the healing together? Because that is what it means to be a Christian. So, pray with me, and I think we'll sing. God, I believe that your words for us are life. They're life not because they're crazy and inaccessible, but you've gone out of your way to communicate to us in such a way that we learn what it means to live again. God, I pray that you'll just be calling beauty from these ashes. It's so cool just to speak up in front of these guys because I think you're offering your message again of blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That we could see ourselves is bankrupt, and yet you, with all your riches, are just willing to allow us to inherit all that, to be able to share liberally because we've been shared so freely with by you. God, I pray that this will be a couple days that send these guys out ready to make friends with people maybe they never did before. Able to share the love of God in a tremendously real way. God, I pray this. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.